From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
There may be a little pain for a little while, but ultimately for my farmers, I love my farmers. They're great patriots. Don't forget, the farmers have been doing lousy for 15 years, okay? Let's face it. If you look at a graph, it's been like this. So when I say I'm negotiating NAFTA, and if they don't make a fair deal, I'm terminating NAFTA, and I'll make a great deal. You're going to do much better. Or when we take on China or the European Union, which has tremendous blocks, it's very hard for us to sell stuff into the European Union. It was put there to take advantage of the United States, okay?
That's President Trump last night in Michigan. He mentioned NAFTA and how tariffs might impact farmers. And earlier in the month, the Trump administration rolled out a list of proposed tariffs. Some fear a trade war might possibly impact farmers. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is still in Israel. And Friday, as you know, came to you from an undisclosed location. Well, I can tell you today that I was at Camp Shelby with the Mississippi State Guard. As you may know, I'm first lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard and public affairs officer, and we were in training on various different missions and what an honor it was to be with a group of patriots. And it's a good day to be here with you. We're expecting Tony back in the saddle on Wednesday. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas, he's in big farmland out there, used to live in Kansas for about 2 decades. He'll be here in just a moment. We're also going to talk about Title 10 Planned Parenthood funding. He's involved with several efforts there. And Thursday, May 3rd, marks the annual National Day of Prayer. Pastor Ronnie Floyd, president of National Day of Prayer, will be here with an update on this important day. In Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, did you hear his speech? Quite amazing. Says Israel has obtained half a ton of Iran documents proving past nuclear weapons program was a lie, and what he's been doing is a lie. FRC's own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will be here to discuss this. He always has good insights on this topic, and of course, we will take your calls later in the show. You can find all this great content on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at Russ Jones Reports. Well, China imposed tariffs on U.S. farm goods and other commodities, making good on its promise to retaliate against the Trump administration's penalties on imports of steel and aluminum. And there are fears that President Trump's tariffs against China could harm U.S. farmers. Yet since Trump's tax cuts and job acts, there are huge, huge signs of growing economy. Joining us now is Congressman Ron Estes. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Kansas and serves on the Homeland Security Committee and the Education and Workforce Committee. Congressman Estes, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
Well, as you know, we were both in Kansas. You're still in Kansas, but we got to know each other pretty well when I was there in Kansas. And I noticed the other day that you just marked your first year in Congress after that special election. How are things going?
It's going great. It's a phenomenal time to be in office and working with all the things that are happening in Washington with President Trump and everybody there. It's great to be engaged. There's just so many things that are facing our country now, and we need to do so many different things. And I'm excited to be here and to help represent the folks in Kansas.
Well, Ron, tell me, you know, we've been hearing a lot about NAFTA and tariffs and whatnot, and you're surrounded by a lot of farmers out there. What are you hearing?
Well, I think one of the things we need to keep in mind is that we need free and fair trade. And that wasn't necessarily the terminology the president used when he was campaigning, but that's the message he's talking about now. And, you know, for so long, most of the United States trade agreements have not been fair. I mean, they've been to promote free trade. But we need to make sure that they're fair for both parties, for the United States as well as our trading partner, because we want it to be a win-win for everybody. And the thing about with NAFTA is it's 25 years old. It needs to have some modernization. But we're not looking to throw away NAFTA. We're not looking to tear it up, which is one of the poor choices of words back a couple of years ago. We want to make sure that we get improvements in the process. I know there's a lot of work going on right now with U.S. trade representatives and counterparts in Mexico and Canada to make sure that we make sure that it addresses the 21st century issues. Unfortunately, on trade, you know, we've got a separate issue with China, and you know, everybody knows that they, you know, the government controls their business economy. Government controls what trade agreements and what trade practices happen, and basically things haven't been fair from that standpoint, and so the president's calling them on it, which other presidents have said they would, but never got around to, and President Trump's doing it. China's pushing back because they don't want to. A fair playing field. Mm-hmm. So they're actually putting some pain right now on farming community and some other commodities, steel and aluminum. And we've got to get past this. Typically in a trade dispute like this, you'll see the country like the United States make the claim that they're wrong, and China push back, and then ultimately to get to the negotiating table and get through the process. It just takes a couple of months to go through that once China agrees to come to the table. And you saw some good remarks a couple weeks ago from Xi in China was talking about, you know, let's at least start the process of working to get this addressed. And hopefully the sooner the better, because, I mean, there are some impacts being felt and hurt financially for farmers across Kansas.
Now, Ron, back during the campaign, Donald Trump received some 67% support of farmers. They voted for him. And I would imagine that support is still pretty strong there, and farmers understand what he's trying to do.
I think so, too. I think people recognize that the president's policies are the right for the country. It's just a matter of how do we get past this pain that China is actually, you know, inflicting. They're using whatever tools they have at their disposal, and it's kind of funny the way they're cherry picking products in states that supported President Trump. So mm-hmm. You know, there's no common sense around the rationale behind it, other than just the political gains that they're wanting to try to force and make political pain for the United States.
And you're on the Education and Workforce Committee, and of course there was the big Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was passed, and we're hearing about a phase two of that now. What are you hearing from your constituents in regards to the economy growing and new jobs?
Well, I think what we've seen over the last year in anticipation of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and since it was implemented, that the economy's strong. It's projections are that it'll be 3% economic growth, which, you know, typically for the last 10 years, it's been down around 2 or parts of the time even lower. And so what we're seeing is a lot more people engaged in either starting a new business or expanding their business. See families that have a little bit more money in their pocket because of the tax cuts, that they're going out to dinner maybe more often, or making a decision about whether they can buy the used car for their teenage child as opposed to having to share one vehicle. And that just generally sees economic growth for everybody. I know one of the things, I guess it was about a month ago, the Congressional Budget Office came out and revised their economic projections that saying that over the next 10 years, they've raised that by $500 billion to because of the growth that they've seen already in 6 months due to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And we're going to see more of that, and we're going to see more economic growth as well from the regulatory reform. Some of the things that have been done both by the president as well as legislatively to help get the government off the back of our growth and making sure that as Americans we'll see stronger and better economic growth.
And you certainly don't see the mainstream media covering these sorts of things, but this is really going to be part of his legacy, isn't it? He's bringing his knowledge of how businesses work and how to create jobs.
It really is. And you're right about the mainstream media not covering it. it's kind of amazing. I'll come out of a meeting or come out of a room and we had some discussion, and I'll see the news stories about, well, in the room, X, Y, and Z was said. And I said, no, I was there. That wasn't at all what was done. And it's amazing how much they just want to paint a negative picture and make it look bad for the president, look bad for the country. And that's just not right.
Now, Congressman, on another front, you're leading efforts urging the Department of Health and Human Services to issue an updated regulations for the Title X Family Planning Program. Tell us about that.
That's right. I'm lead on a letter along with some of my fellow representatives, Vicki Hartzler and Diane Black from Tennessee and Chris Smith. And what we're wanting to do is the president has the authority to issue grants under what's called the Title X program. And during the Obama administration, they intentionally made sure that those grant money went to Planned Parenthood. And what we're doing on this letter is saying, let's go back to the policies that President Reagan had in effect that was passed through the Supreme Court and vetted off as being appropriate policy, and making sure that this Title X funding, these grants, go to true health care facilities and making sure that good quality health care is provided, that it can't be at a facility that also provides abortion, can't be in an organization that actually promotes that. So we want to use the dollars, what they were intended for, is to provide quality health care. And so we've led a letter that's going to Secretary Azar and say, you know, it's the Secretary's ability to revise the rules back to the right standard. And so we have over 155 members of the House in the last 3 weeks who signed that letter. And so we're encouraged. And you know, the president has said that he's not going to award money to the Title X to Planned Parenthood. And we want to help with this process, make sure that these grants go in the right place. And, you know, part of this also helps with messaging of what's really going on in Washington, because what came out of some of our appropriations votes is that, you know, Planned Parenthood has got $500 million over the last several years. And it's through these Title X grants. And we want to make sure that, you know, the president said he's not going to fund them, and that we want to help him in that decision and make sure that the money gets to help provide good quality health care.
Well, if anybody knows that issue well, you do, coming out of Kansas and, you know, the battles with the abortion clinic there in Wichita over the decades. And I know our listeners are very pleased to hear about that. Congressman, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Glad you're in the trenches there representing us on the Hill.
Well, thank you, Russ. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll have you on again, and you have a great week. That's Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas. This is Russ Jones. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And the need for prayer in America has never been greater. This Thursday, thousands will gather across the U.S. to pray for our nation. When we return, Pastor Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer, will be here. We'll talk to him next. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be with you. Well, through the efforts of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, more than 35,000 prayer gatherings will be conducted by about 40,000 volunteers, a lot of folks, across the United States this Thursday, May 3rd, for the annual National Day of Prayer. Several million people are expected to participate in this call to prayer from small towns to state capitals to Washington, D.C. Well, our good friend with us now, Pastor Ronnie Floyd, he serves as president of the National Day of Prayer and will give the keynote address. Pastor Floyd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. It's always great to be with you, Russ, and appreciate the opportunity.
Well, how are things going? I see the ticker here on the nationaldayofprayer.org website. 2 days, 9 hours, 37 minutes and 5 seconds, but who's counting? Oh, we all are, aren't we?
Well, we really are. We've been counting down for quite a long time, and so we're grateful for the opportunity, and we're looking forward to seeing what God does all across America on this coming Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. And just want to encourage all of your listeners today to find a place near you where a National Day of Prayer gathering will occur. Look at social media, look at newspapers, stay tuned to the web, and there will be groups around you that will be talking about being a part of the National Day of Prayer.
Now, the mission of the National Day of Prayer is to mobilize and unify public prayer for America, and we sure do need it right now. There seems to be a lot of political tensions. People seem to be short with each other. Folks have lost sense of civility where they can agree to disagree. Isn't that right?
I've never seen more division and polarization in my lifetime in our country. And that's why this year we are really trying to forward the theme and calling for unity in America. When we came to this conclusion, it was last October, Russ. And if you just imagine back even those months ago, we know that today the division in our country is far exceeds what it was even in October. So we know the Lord is in this, and we really believe God wants to use Thursday to at least issue a public call to all of America that, you know what, it's time that we come together. Jesus said that a house divided cannot stand, and that's a profound principle in God's word. And that can happen, doesn't matter whether it's a family, whether it's a business, a team, or even a country. We need to come together.
Well, Pastor Floyd, you're the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, serve a large multi-campus church in Arkansas, Cross Church, and you know, this isn't your first rodeo. What do you see with the mood of believers right now as far as being able to lead people, to turn people, to see, change the hearts and minds? You know, I just returned from a week at the Mississippi State Guard, Pastor, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of believers in there. They're just not real vocal, but there's a lot of strong prayer warriors.
Yeah, that's incredible, and I praise God for that. And it's so good to know that, Russ. And I would say this also in relationship to your question. I think you identify one of the big issues, and that is, even in relationship, are we as the church ready to issue this call? And the answer to that is no, we're not. And the reason why we're not is because the church needs to adhere to the call before we can issue the call. The church needs to come together. All over this country, as you well know, evangelicals are divided over all kinds of matters across this country. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's not a lot of difference at times in between many of us and what is happening in the country. And that's just not right. You know, listen, we can rally around the Bible is the word of God, Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation, and the hope of the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we will stay there and park there and not get caught up in secondary matters that are important to every one of us, we know that, and I'm not minimizing that. But we need to understand we're never going to come together around the subject of politics. Unity is supernatural. It's created mm-hmm. by God himself. That's why we talk about it over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's why Jesus, in John 17, prayed for unity in his family. He prayed for unity in our lives. And we need to come together as the church, because I don't believe that a divided church can issue a divided nation a call to unity.
What are the areas that we'll be praying for on Thursday? Different, well, our leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in every gathering across the country, no matter whether it's at a state level, local level, national level, we'll obviously be praying for various levels of government and government leadership, military, all those matters that are very important, first responders, whatever it may be, in all those local gatherings and state gatherings and the national gatherings. But all that's important. But what we also need to really forward in our gatherings is an issue, a call to unity, and the unity in our families. Think about it today. This is what the Washington Watch so talks about so often, and Tony talks about with the Family Research Council so often, is the preservation and the hope of the family. The family is the key, and families need to come together. And where is one of the biggest pictures of disunity in America? The American family. And we need to do everything we can to forward unity in the family, unity in the church, unity in the workplace, unity in matters of education and business. We need to do all we can to come together at those points of influence, those spheres of influence all across our country. That's where it really matters, are in those areas.
Amen. Well, Pastor Floyd, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Folks, you can go to nationaldayofprayer.org. Is that right? For more information, and get plugged in. Appreciate you being with us, Pastor. Pastor Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer. Mark this on your calendar. Put it on your calendar and go get the information on nationaldayofprayer.org. Well, coming up next, Israel's prime minister says his government has obtained half a ton, that's right, half a ton of secret Iranian documents proving the Tehran government once had a nuclear weapons program. We'll talk with FRC's retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Iran lied. Big time. After signing the nuclear deal in 2015, Iran intensified its efforts to hide its secret nuclear files. In 2017, Iran moved its nuclear weapons files to a highly secret location in Tehran. This is the Shorabad district in southern Tehran. This is where they kept the atomic archives, right here.
Hailing one of Israel's intel's greatest achievements, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel obtained, as you heard, 100,000 documents proving that the deal with world powers is based on Iranian deception. Joining us now is our own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He was the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under President George W. Bush. During his 36-year career in the military, he spent 13 years in the Delta Force and now Family Research Council's Executive Vice President. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks a lot, Russ. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, you heard that. That was an amazing presentation. I actually watched it, and to see him do that presentation, and he did the whole thing in English, I think the message is pretty clear who he wanted to hear this message.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I'll tell you, Russ, there was really no surprises in the content, but there were two surprises for me. One was a world leader given that level of briefing and doing so, by the way, without benefit of notes or anything else. The second thing was the enormity of what they brought back to Israel from Tehran. And you have to ask yourself, how on earth did they do that? I think you can say they've had some divine help with this.
Oh, no doubt. It is unbelievable. And I've never seen quite a thing from a world leader like that, to see him going through that in perfectly clear English and describing in great detail what they obtained. 100,000 documents, 55,000 pages and 183 CDs. Who knows what else they learned in there? Well, I guess that'll be maybe coming out later.
Well, yeah, I think so. And I will tell you that I don't think that anybody in our intelligence community was surprised by that. It was, in fact, they probably have been sharing this information for some time now. So I don't think that there was any big surprises. I certainly was not.
Mm-hmm. And President Trump is going to decide, what, May 12th, I believe it is, whether or not to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. Where do you think he's leaning?
Yeah, I think that he's leaning towards getting out of it. Now, that may not be just a proclamation that we're out of it, we're done, we're going to reimpose sanctions. He may come up with some middle ground, and there may be an opportunity to go back to the negotiating table and say, here are the things that we require you to do if you want to keep this agreement in place. And then he lays out things that, for example, will allow the IAEA to go and inspect military installations, to go and inspect unannounced, rather than giving them the advance warning that they, you know, that's required right now. Because as long as they have any kind of advance warning, there's not going to be anything there when you go that would be in a violation to the treaty. So I don't know how Trump's going to handle it, but I think he's leaning towards getting out of it. I think that Netanyahu just gave him a mighty boost for being able to get out of this thing and walk away saying this is in the best interest of the United States, of Israel, and of the world security.
And you just returned from FRC's trip to Israel and Jordan for a few days. What was the mood on the ground there? Do you see that our president here and the pro-Israel support coming out of the White House is emboldening Israel to some degree?
Yeah, Russ, it was interesting. Every speaker that we had that gave any thoughts on national security, Israeli national security, identified Iran as the number one existential threat to Israel. All of them, every one of them, uncoordinated. The second thing was, if Donald Trump wanted to go run for prime minister, I think he could win over there because they absolutely adore him. They believe that he is the most courageous president that most of them have seen in their lifetimes.
Now, lots going on in Syria. This missile strike killed, a dozen pro-government fighters. How probable do you think military engagement between Israel and Iran might be?
Well, I think that part of what you're seeing right now with this, the way Benjamin Netanyahu came out today in this news conference and laid it all out, I think you're seeing Israel going through the final stages of the process of justifying a strike. Now, I don't think they want to, but it's reasonable that they do not want to go strike. They are doing all they can to reinforce what President Trump has been saying about this deal. But I also think that they put the marker down today, which was clearly telling the world they are going to have a nuclear weapon. And I think that the sub-message to that is, and we can't allow that.
General, insightful as always. First Lieutenant Jones here, reporting for duty. It's an honor to have you on the show today.
Yeah, Lieutenant, congratulations to you, by the way.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. See you.
Okay,
see you down the road. Be blessed. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
It's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. Always insightful. That man there knows the ropes and he knows what's really going on. And next, we're going to go to the phone lines.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life.
Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Well, we're coming around home on this Monday afternoon. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 866-372-7234. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, last week was at Camp Shelby for advanced training with the Mississippi State Guard. And wow, was that an eye-opening experience. Various different drills. Personal growth in my life like I haven't seen in quite some time. And you know, in the military, there's this thing called risk assessment. A risk assessment is the thought process of making operations safer without compromising the mission. And commanders must continually perform a risk assessment of the conditions under which they operate to prevent the unnecessary loss of personnel or equipment and the degradation of mission success. Well, I got a story for you. As a public affairs officer, I was taking photos, and I stood up on a chair, and Brigadier General Doug Hayhurst was standing right next to me there, and he said, LT, did you do a risk assessment before you stood up on that chair? That chair doesn't look real stable. I got down and proceeded to get some instruction about risk assessment. And it really dawned on me, how often do we take a risk assessment in our own lives? It's not just your physical behavior, but what behaviors are we doing in the spiritual realm, in the emotional realm, where we're possibly harming ourselves or harming other people? Do we think twice before we speak? Do we think before we do a particular action? I'm sure there are times in your life that you thought, wow, I wish I didn't do that, or I wish I could do that over again. I wish I could take back those harmful words or that behavior, that sinful behavior that led me down a wrong road. And, you know, sometimes when you go down that road, it takes years to overcome and to get back your life and to live that life in the way God intends it. So risk assessment, got a little lesson on that and making risk decisions and assessing hazards and implementing controls. And the scriptures, you know, they provide us the controls, the information we need to control our life, but do we take notice? Do we really implement those controls to keep us out of trouble? We are soldiers as believers. We are soldiers for Christ. So we need to take a risk assessment and take a second look at what we're doing. What do you do to take a risk assessment? What are you going to be praying for on the National Day of Prayer? Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We've got quite a few minutes left here in the show. Would love to dig deep into that kind of conversation. You know, when I was in Kansas, I had a group of guys, seven or eight guys. We met on Thursday nights, and we held each other accountable, and we were able to get into the weeds of our lives, and we were able to truly share with each other. And you know, it's a rare thing when you can truly be yourself, and people know you warts and all, and they still consider you a friend. And how many times have you been unfriended recently on Facebook or blocked somewhere on Twitter because someone just simply didn't like your political views, or they didn't care for your worldview? You know, there's times in our lives where we really need to take a second look and, you know, was that person really my friend in the first place? And you know, I've noticed that conservatives often are way more able to handle someone with a different worldview than the other way around. Have you noticed that? I can handle someone with a more liberal worldview and not unfriend them in my life, either on a social media or just personally in person. And I can agree to disagree with someone. But I just rarely see that kind of attitude reciprocates. And when we were talking with Pastor Ronnie Floyd, and, you know, we need prayer now more than ever, and I really think it's because of this disconnect, this discord in our culture that we're seeing. And we're seeing it on the streets and these protests that often seem very unreasonable. And we saw it, you know, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night, in our press secretary's, the attacks on her, on Sarah Sanders. I'm going to try to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow in tomorrow's program. And just the hateful, hateful things that are being said about people. And in that case, it was, oh, well, it was all in the name of comedy. Well, you know, comedy can cut. It hurts. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're gearing up for National Day of Prayer on Thursday. You can find more information on tonyperkins.com. Matter of fact, you can follow Tony on Twitter, at T Perkins. You can follow me on Twitter as well, Russ Jones Reports. And I really want to hear from you. What are you doing? How are you preparing and protecting your heart? What risk assessments are you doing in your own life? How are you integrating a risk assessment into planning? Maybe we have some prior service military folks or active duty military folks that know exactly what I'm talking about, the rules which guide the risk assessment process that keep us protected. And are we able, you know, to take a look? There's these various stages, four stages. That behavior is going to be possibly catastrophic, or number two, it could be critical, or number three, it could have a moderate effect, and number four, a negligible effect in my life. And how should we accept no unnecessary risk and make risk decisions at the proper level in our lives and accept the risk if the benefits outweigh the cost? And a lot of times I see folks that just don't want to be responsible for their own behaviors and their own actions and blame things on other people. And you know, there's a thing called accountability. Well, let's go to Fern in Oklahoma. Fern, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm all right, and you?
Well, I'm good. What's on your mind?
small town leaguer for 25 years in the National Day of Prayer.
Oh, right.
And this year, I think it's one of the most divisive times, even in our small town and in our state, concerning our schools. We had a teacher strike, walkout, and there was so much hateful words said among Christian people that it just hurt me, hurt my heart to see it. And so this unity. I don't think Dr. Floyd and the task force could have chosen a better theme. I appreciate him. I have met him in person. He wouldn't remember me, but I remember him.
Well, he's a wonderful man and a good leader.
Yes, he is. I appreciate him very much.
Well, so Fern, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm just praying for unity to come back. In our small town, in our state, and, of course, in our nation.
Fern, thank you so much for calling, and those are all good words there, Fern, in Oklahoma. Let's go to Shannon in Texas. Hi, Shannon. Hi, Shannon.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm calling about a meeting revival that we're having in Northeast Texas in a little town called Sims. And we reserved the month of March to have it maybe go on 2 months. But we're praying for revival to break out and spread around here. And we'd like for y'all to pray for us and the lost people that are near us. So I sure would appreciate that.
And are you planning to participate in National Day of Prayer on Thursday?
Definitely.
All right. Very good. Yes. Well, I appreciate you calling with that good word. You know, if you don't know where your different meeting places are, you can go to National Day of Prayer website and find out. So thank you, Shannon. Thanks for calling. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What are you going to be doing on National Day of Prayer? What do you think we need to be praying about? And what's on your heart? And what do you think of what I had to say about risk assessment? That was quite a learning for me on that. And as we had our final formation yesterday and left the Army base, General called me up, Lieutenant Jones, front and center. And I was awarded my first ribbon, an achievement, a ribbon. And I'm telling you, powerful. There have been several powerful moments, but I couldn't be more proud to be serving and to be suited up for duty and to be preparing. And I'm learning so much and identifying ways to be strategic. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of this information I've got several sermons. It doesn't just apply in the foxholes and in the field, but it applies in our own personal lives and how we can be good soldiers for the Lord and how we can be strategic in our planning and ways that we can serve and ways that we can identify inherent dangers, both personal, professional, spiritual, and be aware of hazardous materials that might be used to attack. Stanley in Texas, welcome to Washington Watch. Hi, Stanley. You wanted to talk about risk assessment in your world.
I was thinking, I'm driving on the road, I pulled over, and was thinking about risk assessment. What would I do? I could create the day I feel very, very honest and sincere to myself. I can create a 10 questions or come up on a scale of 1 to 10. What is my spiritual risk assessment? Am I praying? Am I reading Bible? You can create your own if you're really honest to yourself and do various kinds of physical risk assessment, spiritual risk assessment, financial risk assessment. I'm just thinking loud while I was driving. I think that's what I would do, and kind of read it every, see it every 3 months or so, and see how that is progressing. You can do that for your fatherhood, being a father or a mother or whatever you're doing.
Excellent, excellent advice, Stanley. Appreciate you calling. That is absolutely true in being able to implement that. Let's go to Stephen, also in Texas, in the Lone Star State. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm awesome, actually.
Excellent. I was listening to the show, and I felt like I needed to go ahead and chime in case anybody else didn't. And, you know, on the National Prayer Day, I think along with unity, we need to pray for discernment and clarity as far as what is the main mission of our nation, not in the sense of individual, but in the sense of what our founding fathers chose to create. We are one nation under God. On our dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." We believe that. We say that we believe that. It's a reflection. It's mandated. So in my opinion, we all need to ask ourselves, what exactly did our founding fathers have in mind? What was their, because these people were men of God. Our colonists were godly people. They lived godly lives. So I think it's really necessary, even though technologies come to a certain point and our lives have come to a certain point, that we have to ask ourselves, what was the simplicity that they had, and how can we embody that?
Right. Very good question, Stephen. Appreciate you calling Washington Watch. We got one person here hanging on the line. Ken, real quick from Missouri. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm good. We just got
a minute. Thank you for your service, first off.
Thank you.
And my thought is, as far as safeguarding things, I always try to think of situations as seeing the sign that says thin ice, stay off. So if the situation is a temptation there, why would you be on the thin ice to begin with? Just stay off. I'm actually a kindergarten teacher, so my first thought was really, oh, be careful what little eyes what you see, be careful little hands what you touch, be careful feet where you go. So that's all I had to call in, but I'm a first-time caller, and I really love this show.
Wonderful, Ken. Thank you so much. We got to go. I'm glad we could get that in. Stay off of thin ice, absolutely. And these words from Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'm Rush Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And I leave you with this: if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.